Welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 117. With me this week is Tracy Erickson.
Hello.
And did Tracy become a wrestler last week? Is that some sort of...
and John,
it's my part-time job in the evenings.
Oh, I see.
Thursday nights. Down at Dimitri's gym.
And John Jordan.
Hello. I don't need a build up.
I was going to give you a build up, but
I spoiled it all. I know.
Yes, welcome back, you two. How was GDC?
Good. Really busy. Lot of stuff going on. Probably the busiest GDC I've ever experienced.
Yes, I think it has been the busiest in 10 years for me.
You sound quite tired, John.
I am suffering from the vagaries of jet lag. It's true.
Well, we will let's go cracking onto news, because I'm there's quite a bit to get through, and I'm sure the rumor mine has probably been busy at GDC as well. So we'll get cracking. Right, first up in the news this week is that the iPad 2 is out today from when the podcast is actually released. It's not actually out today, it's out tomorrow. But when you hear this, it'll be out today in the US. So, yeah. I think we've all had hands-on, have we, now? Or
were you able to get hands-on one with one, Will?
Yeah, I had What'd to queue up for ages.
I mean, because you have an iPad, so you can have a frame of reference in terms of the differences. What did you think?
Yeah, it was all right. I sort of went through what I thought of it last week when Mike was here, doing a very very capable stand-in job. Thank you very much to Mike. And I wasn't overwhelmed. It was nice though. It's a nice piece of kit, but yeah, it's more of an upgrade. It's not a big progression. It's like a refinement.
That's always the kind of problem, isn't it? That you invent something, and then it is very difficult, even for Apple and Steve Jobs turning up, to really convince everyone that it is. Yeah, particularly when it just is a bit thinner and a bit faster. It's
like, the iPhone 4 managed to make an impact.
Well, yeah, but that was also essentially a redesign. I mean, the device looks different. It has a different screen. It has a bunch of new features.
Yeah, but it proves the point. You don't need to invent a new device.
Well, I guess with the iPad, it's like...
No, I see what you're saying.
Because with the iPhone, people are on a 2-year upgrade cycle, so they just know. Whereas with an iPad, you buy it and then you can shell out again for it, but there's not the same upgrade cycle. So there's, I guess, it's a slightly different mechanic at work there.
Do you think there's going to be a massive queue at Apple stores around the US tomorrow, Tracy? What's the sort of buzz?
That's a good question. Probably not. I don't feel like there's going to be. I mean, inevitably, there's always. I mean, it's an Apple product, so there's always people that wait in line. But I don't think it'll be the same as iPad, the original one. Mm. To build off of what you were just saying, though, John, I think that's a good point. I also think it's worth recognizing that these are rather sophisticated products. It probably takes more than 8 to 10 months to basically redesign them. So, you know, probably next year we'll get a more substantive iPad upgrade.
Well, aren't we talking about getting another one in September? Isn't that the
That's a rumor.
That sounds like insanity to me. That sounds like insanity to me. I mean, why would they do that in September? They normally do their iPod Touch and iPod refreshes in September. It just sounds like a bunch of hogwash to me.
Well, so so hopefully we'll have our office iPad 2 very soon. So no doubt there'll be, and of course in about 8 months' time we'll see some games that fully take advantage of it. That's the lie. Real Racing 2 HD is apparently going to be one of the first, isn't it? That takes advantage of the dual core from Firemint.
But it's still the case. You can always take advantage in inverted commas just by going, let's make the textures bigger, but that's not,
right.
that's not necessarily, you know, And until you actually sit down with one 6 months before you're making a game, I mean, that's just like every launch title ever. You know, you can like double the number of cars, or you can make the textures bigger, or, you know, but that's not really, I mean, that's just marketing ploy.
It's marketing ploy that works on me.
No, it's not, because you're not going to go out and buy an iPad. You've got an iPad, you're not going to go out and buy an iPad 2.
I know, yeah.
It doesn't work on you at all.
Hey, but I want Real Racing 2 HD now. Anyway, so, yes, on other news, we are 5 years old today. That is the website, not me, Tracy and John. we're much older than five. Pocket Gamer celebrated its fifth birthday on Thursday, March the 10th, 2011. It's been a lot of changes over the last 5 years.
You. I was there.
Finally no longer breastfed.
Yes.
Onto solids, just about.
That is a good point, actually. John, you were there from the start, weren't you?
I was there from. Well, the behind the scenes is actually the site ran live for about 6 months before it actually went live. So technically, while the live site.
That's the gestation period, surely. Exactly. In the womb.
Exactly. So it went live with how many hundred news stories already written, because we obviously you can't go live with a website that has the stories you wrote on it that day. So, yes.
That does confuse people. I know some readers will be looking through and thinking, wait a minute, though, I saw a review from 2005.
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
I should go look and see what my first review was. I can't even remember.
Hello, my name is John.
No.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, John.
What are we talking, Gamer Daycare?
See, originally, we were going to go live. We were planning to go live when the PSP launched in the UK, which was September 2005. But we somehow didn't quite make it. So.
Well, stay tuned, readers and listeners, and listener readers, because there's a series of quite interesting features that we've been all working on this week that you should see going up over the next few days to celebrate this momentous occasion, including an abridged history of Pocket Gaming by yours truly.
You know what my first review was? I've just looked it up. Untold Legends. Who remembers Untold Legends on the PSP?
Oh, gosh, that's not a very good review to start on. That's not a very good game.
And then Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Chaos Theory on the DS.
Yeah. Oh.
Happy days.
I like Chaos Theory. Not so much on the DS.
Not so much
on the DS. Yeah. Well, yes. Anyway, yeah, there are going to be special features, and there's also a very sort of divisive top 10 list that had the whole office arguing with each other for about 4 hours yesterday during the afternoon. So that's going to be fun. So I'll leave you to decide which one that is. anyway, yes. So stay tuned for those. And also, the Pocket Gamer Reader Awards have opened. That's the Pocket Gamer Reader Awards 2011. Where you get to pick your favourite games from all the formats, from iOS to Java to DS to PSP.
Engage.
I've got to tell you some really bad news about the Engage, John.
What? What do you mean?
Oh no, I'll wait till after the podcast.
Okay.
But if you
Gizmondo, I've still got Gizmondo. Sorry.
Yeah. There's a, So if you navigate to the website and type in the search bar, because the actual web address is quite annoying to read out, then type in Pocket Gamer Reader Awards or Pocket Gamer Awards, you should find the voting page, and you don't have to register or sign up for like some mailing list or give us your kidneys or anything like that. You just
liver is fine.
Liver's fine. Yeah, liver's good. We accept liver and Visa. Anyway, you just sort of go on that, choose the ones that you like, and then that's it, that's done. And then we'll be announcing the winners next month, April or something, quite early. But yes, so you'll vote for your favourite game, and good luck to all the developers who are involved and all the publishers as well. Okay, so on to other news. Rovio. We haven't spoken about Rovio for a good 2 weeks. Mainly because last week I was mainly talking about the iPad. So, Ovio, John, this is more of in your from your neck of the woods. What's been going on here? I hear numbers. I hear lots of very big numbers. Said.
Yeah, it's kind of slightly peculiar because at the start of the week, there was an interview with Wired where they said they made 50 million euros. So presumably that's 50 million euros since in the last year, I guess, because obviously they've not really done anything successfully before Angry Birds.
Bounce,
yeah, probably made. Well, they probably did make. Well, actually, the funny thing is, Bounce is their most successful game because it's had.
I really liked Bounce. I had it on the 9210.
Yeah, well, it's basically installed. It was installed on a quarter of a billion Nokia devices. So I assume they made a couple of million euros from that. But anyway,
sorry.
Assuming on the back of Angry Birds, they made 50 million euros in terms of revenue. So that's probably. A lot of that's quite profit, I would think. But then they've just announced today they've raised $42 million in kind of VC funding. What effectively has happened is they've sold a certain percentage of the company to various people, including some quite well-known kind of investors.
A bit like a sort of Dragon's Den, only that they come there with a complete product that's already sold.
Yes. Well, actually, I mean, tediously, in my biz head, what kind of happens is you have a big success and then lots of people who have money just think, oh, they could get bigger. If I buy like 10% of them now, then if I sell them for $1 billion later on, so they give you a bit of money now, even though you don't need it. So and obviously the people who invest in the company then sell some of their shares off, so they get some money out of it. So kind of everyone's happy. But it's no, it's considerable sum of money, $42 million.
So we should expect an Unreal Engine Angry Birds epic game, like with 6 hours of single player gameplay and a multiplayer with up to 24 birds.
No, I don't think. They have kind of. I mean, it's kind of what they've said before, but they're what was the term they've used? They've used an online. The online version of Angry Birds is now due, which kind of everyone I guess assumed was the Facebook thing, which is
I think it is the Facebook thing.
Maybe it's a bit more than that. I mean, obviously they said before they're doing the consoles and they're looking to do animated films and they're looking to do everything else. So but the other interesting actually figure was they've now said they have 40 million monthly active users, which is a term that is normally used for kind of like freemium games, because that's kind of what you have that number, and then you kind of then a certain percentage of those will buy in-app purchases, which isn't really the case for Angry Birds yet. So I was speculating that maybe they were the next thing they were going to do, this online thing, was perhaps a little more of a freemium type model.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Yeah, because it's like, where are they pulling that number from?
Yeah, so we'll see. I guess, but no, it's good. It's good. It's good that there is a mobile company is being successful and going off and doing things in the rest of the world.
Well, also in the news this week is that iOS 4.3 has just been released. Moving on from Rovio to Apple again. I should have done that link better. I should have gone from an Apple story to iOS 4.3 anyway. But yeah.
Fail.
It is out. It's out right now, in fact. As we're recording, it is out. Mm-hmm. I haven't got it because it isn't compatible with my iPod. I could have linked up the iPad, but I couldn't be bothered earlier on. I'm going to wait it out and see if there's any problems, because there normally is. Has anyone else, been brave enough to put it on their machines yet?
Yeah, I did.
Is it amazing?
I put it on an iPhone 4 and an iPad. The iPad's functioning fine, although I haven't noticed anything with my iPhone 4 yet. But I had problem playing a game, trying to start up one game, and then I tried starting it on an iPod Touch, and it started working on that iPod Touch. So I don't know if it's the OS or it's just...
I have been seeing a few reports starting to emerge that it could be causing issues on certain games. I think Speedball Evolution is one that's been affected. But this is, again, this is why I don't upgrade on the first day, Tracy. I don't know why I took that accusative tone of you there. yeah, so don't do it again, okay? No, oh, well, that's a shame. Have you had a chance to try out the hotspot functionality?
No. No, I haven't, actually.
That's the hot topic. O2 actually charges you money if you want to use it.
It's been an Android for ages, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been an Android since 2.1, I think.
Yeah, it's an extra expense here, and I don't have that on my account because it's ridiculously overpriced, and yeah, I just don't have it.
Yeah, it's well overpriced in the UK as well. 750 for 500 megs extra on top of your monthly bill. That's nice. yeah. All right. Well, never mind. If you are rich and want a hotspot, though, I'm sure it works very well. okay. Yes. I think that's the news we're going to cover this week.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
Hello. Welcome. We're in the rumor mine. I'll probably add some sort of reverb effect on this bit of speech.
Their voice is down the tunnel. We have to move quickly.
Yes. So the rumor mine this week it's hard to describe. Tracy, why don't you go ahead?
there's been a lot going on. Obviously, we had a big special edition 2 weeks ago, right before GDC. So, admittedly, we've got not as many gems this week. A couple of rumors that were mentioned throughout this last week. So, if you've been following the site and following a lot of the rumors, not a bunch of surprises for you here in the podcast, but interesting topics nonetheless. Starting with iPhone 5 or whatever it's going to be called. Unsurprisingly, the rumor miner is telling us that it's going to feature a revamped antenna. Do with
what?
That way. I wonder how they're going to, like, what are they going to do? I mean, I can't imagine them going back
fix
to...
Fix it? They're
going to
fix it?
Well, yeah, I know, but what does that entail? I mean, part of that, like, is it going to be the same design with a little bit of tweaks, or is it going to be a completely new antenna that's inside the phone? I mean, I can't imagine that they're going to go back to the antenna.
Just change the material, don't they?
So, a new rumor. We've talked about LEGO games in the past, and there are tons more LEGO games coming, including next week is LEGO Star Wars 3 is coming out, which had been previously mentioned in an earlier rumor mine. Another LEGO game, LEGO Pirates of the Caribbean, which is coming out in May, is also coming to iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad.
That should be good. It's a good franchise to pick, I guess, for LEGO. Should be enjoyable. It's got enough memorable characters, great action, great scenes. Of tomfoolery.
Oh my God.
Remember that bit when Jack Sparrow did that thing? And he was all a bit drunk. Oh, that's all free films.
Your movie too, yeah, I know.
Cool. Well, if it's as good as LEGO.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking
is that cough
Zero.
Syrup?
No, Coca-Cola Zero. It's the trendy drink with no sugar and lots of caffeine. I just had a cup of coffee as well. No, that's true. Oh dear. It's going to be a late night. The LEGO Harry Potter game was excellent. It was good fun. So that should be good. One to look out for in the future. What's next on the rumor menu?
Our final rumor is one that was mentioned earlier this week. It has it's somewhat related to iPhone, but it's, I think it's an interesting sort of touch point for discussion. The rumor miner is branching out. He's including rumors, if you haven't noticed, from earlier installments this year to other devices that are tangentially related to iPhone. And this week he's talking about a new Android handset, which I'm sure any of our avid podcast listeners are familiar with, the Xperia Play, the first PlayStation-certified mobile device. And the rumor miner is telling us that Sony Ericsson is so keen on making this a success that they are funding development of exclusive games for Xperia Play. Now, this is interesting because if you look at the launch lineup of all the games that are coming out for this device, they're all iPhone games that are reconfigured. They've either been ported already to Android or they are being ported specifically to this Android device. So it sounds according to the rumor miner that Sony Ericsson knows that they gotta have to break through that. They have to do more than just do iPhone ports, because that's what everybody's developing for right now. Even as Android is gaining a lot of traction, people are still developing for iPhone first. I mean, I talked with, I did an interview with Rob Murray, who is the CEO of Firemint at GDC, and it's up on the site. Go ahead and take a look. And he was saying, you know, one of the questions I asked him is, you know, there's a lot of different devices out there. Are you guys looking at Windows Phone? Are you looking at Android? And they said, yes, but it doesn't matter because we're still iPhone first. We're iOS first. It'll always come first. And I've heard that from a lot of developers. Yeah, they're looking. They want to port to Android. They want to do that, but their development starts on iPhone. So I think, what do you guys think?
I kind of think Firemint are a little bit of a special case, just because, I mean, you know, even talking to kind of console guys, there'll be some console guys who, for whatever reason, will just go, you know, we'll choose a console to go on and make sure it's the best game it can be on that console. Because obviously, if you're trying to do cross-platform stuff, then you take a slightly more generalized approach. So your games never look as good as they could be if you spent all that time just making them on one platform. And obviously, you know, Firemint are not going to be making freemium games, whereas a lot of people now are making freemium games. And if you're doing a freemium game, you want to get it. You just want to get the volume as much as possible. So I mean, Android is going to be so big. I mean, Android is already effectively as big as iOS. I mean, obviously, you can't monetize it in the same way, but just the amount of devices out there are absolutely phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I think anyone who's doing anything free, they're almost kind of leading on. And if you're doing that kind of stuff, you have to lead on Android because you have to deal with the fragmentation, so it's much harder to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll find, I mean, actually, not Firemint aren't a good example of that because they did a lot of mobile development work even on Java and stuff. So they understand mobile, but you know, a lot of the old traditional mobile guys are just going Java's going Android's fine. You know, we can just cover all these different devices. It's not that difficult. Whereas a lot of the guys who came directly to iPhone don't really. Yes, some of them hate Android. I mean, they find it disgusting. They have to just 13 different screen sizes. I mean, they just don't like that. So I think it definitely separates kind of companies out. But I mean, you just can't ignore Android, I don't think.
Yeah.
Although I'm still unsure that I think Sony Ericsson would be better just making sure there's lots of devices out there rather than paying people. I think paying people to make games is just like a foolish thing because of course they'll do it. Because they're getting the money, but if there's not any devices out there, then they're never going to do any more. I mean, I just think that's a silly move, really.
Short-term game.
Well, it has to. Well, not even that. I mean, it may not even be a short-term game. Those exclusive titles have to happen sort of organically. I mean,
They're not going
to
be good. They're not going to be good organic titles. They're not going to be good exclusives, are they?
Right. I mean, it's like
you pay that much, you know, compared to how much Firemint have made by making great games.
Right, exactly. Well, and that's the other part of it. I mean, if you start funding exclusives at an early date, I mean, there's just not going to be the install base to support sales, you know. And you didn't have a situation, for example, where Sony went to Konami and said, "We want you to make a Metal Gear Solid, and we want it to be exclusive to PlayStation." It didn't happen that way. You know, and if it had happened that way, I mean, we may not have ended up with Metal Gear Solid 4 on PS3, you know, 10 years later. So, you know, the developers have to choose that. You know, and I would imagine it would be the same thing with Firemint. You know, if you know, who knows? Maybe they did approach Firemint and say, "Hey, we want you to do."
I'm sure they did.
You know,
I'm
do
sure
this, and they said no. I mean, there are countless, you know, I've heard from countless stories with particular regard to Firemint about different companies approaching them saying they want to do this and they want to do that, and them being very firm and declining a lot of offers because of their, and again, to your point, I think your point is exactly on point, John, about Fireman is a special sort of special case, and I say that in a good way. Their commitment to their sort of vision of what they want their games to be is so strong that they're not willing to compromise and to port just for the sake. That's why I thought it was very interesting that they allowed Namco to do that version of Flight Control for Java. I thought that was not a good idea.
Well, I mean, the other thing you have to remember with Fireman is that they're so committed to their vision that they effectively went bust. I mean, you know, if Flight Control hadn't come out, they would have effectively had to have somehow sold the company, or, you know, they had spent so much money making the first real racing, they went bust.
Yeah.
So,
you know. Yeah. Well, and I think it's interesting that they ended up spending even more money on the sequel. Well, right, they spent $1 million crafting Real Racing 2.
At least they had $1 million by that point.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, is that the final rumor from the Rumor Man?
That is,
aka the miner of rumor. Cool. Well, let's all head out to the what we've been playing fields.
What we've been playing.
Hello. It's all right, John. You can lie down here. It'll be.
Can I?
It's all
can I,
okay.
Can I go to sleep.
Yes. Go to sleep now. Go to sleep. Yes.
Okay. I'm feeling a little uncertain.
Right. Who wants to start this week?
I can go first.
Go for it.
I am playing Kami Retro, which is a new Gameville game. It's not an RPG, surprisingly. Hey. It's part of their big push to branch out from RPGs. It's a platformer, but it has a lemming sort of twist to it. So you have a single screen level, and there is a entry portal and an exit portal. And through the entry portal come these little guys. They look like Mario's, basically. They look like Mario. And you flick the screen to make him jump over obstacles in order to reach the exit portal. And there's all sorts of different obstacles. There's gaps. There's pitfalls. There's these piranha plant-looking guys that will chomp you.
They're mushrooms.
I haven't run into mushrooms yet. And then you have to collect stars, and those are your points, and then they also rank your performance on a level. So if you get 3 stars, that means you got every single star and all that sort of thing. And what makes it sort of what gives it the lemmings twist is that the guys move automatically, so it's all about timing your jumps. And then you there's 4 guys per level. So it's repetitive in the sense that you have to go through the same level 4 times when you play it. But it's very short. So, I mean, you're talking about like 5 seconds for each playthrough. So, and then as you get through each level, or as you, there's 5 different worlds, each with 12 different levels. And each world introduces a new item. So, for example, you start off with just the ability to jump, and then you then have, in the second world, you get a bouncing pad where you jump on it, and then it automatically bounces you forward. And then there's a fan in the third level that allows you to travel farther when you've jumped. So that sort of thing. And it's just really nice. It's just a really kind of fun little game. It's not... It can be hard in spots, but it's never frustrating. I haven't been frustrated at all. There have been a couple of times where I've swiped the screen to jump and it didn't quite register it. I'm not sure if that's just me flubbing up or if that's the game and it's kind of having a little bit of difficulty registering. I think it might be, it's very particular about the angle at which you're sliding, at which you're swiping your finger. So, but it's got a great look. It's really just kind of an easy pick up and play title, play a couple of levels. I really like it. And I hope that they do more stuff like this because it's just a really nice game.
Is it out yet, Tracy? Or is it?
It is out now. Yes. Okay. Hmm. Yes.
Good. I have been playing Big Boss or Wacky Lands Big Boss on the iPad, and it's a side-scrolling beat 'em up, but essentially.
The Chillingo one.
Yes, the Chillingo one.
Did that not come out on iPhone about months ago?
Yeah. Well, I'm reviewing the iPad version.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Yes, you're a massive creature who's having his view blocked from his cave by some nasty medieval ninjas. And so you stomp along a level from left to right, and you beat them all up and destroy a castle and beat up on like a big monster at the end of each level. It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up, but there's only special moves are the only buttons on screen. Everything else is performed by swiping. So you swipe down to roll in a direction, or you swipe left to hit someone on your left, or you tap to do a little boxing thing. And it's quite fun. I mean, it's not particularly a difficult game. It's very shallow, really. You just go from left to right hitting things, but it's really well executed. It has a few issues with its swiping recognition. Again, it's when you swipe up that's when it has its most problems. But the actual gameplay itself is light, fluffy. It's fun. It's quite amusing. And the way you can customize your creature as well, there's loads of different eyes and different types of body, which means you get different types of move. And, you know, it has an RPG element, which adds a little bit of extra depth, but only to the sense of that you can't put everything on your monster at the start. It's not really much in terms of difficulty. But, yeah, no, it was good fun. I enjoyed it. I think a review is due soon, but I thought it was good. It's a bit shallow, but it's a pleasant game. John.
I have been playing, and in a fit of jet lag enthusiasm, I've actually Tracy's laughing because he's like, I've been playing Ice Stunt 2, which is in many ways it seems like a very a very straightforward game. That's Miniclip, who are one of the big Flash gaming sites, and it's a conversion of a Flash game where it's like a 2D snowboarding kind of game, kind of high school game where you control a little snowboarder. But obviously, if you're doing it on Flash, you can't tilt. So actually, it's one of these nice Flash games. It's actually a lot better on an iPhone or an iPod Touch than playing it on a PC. And I don't know whether I've got a little bit carried away with the last game I reviewed was Tiny Wings, but there's a little bit of kind of Tiny Wings. I mean, you're kind of like controlling your snowboarder, and how his trajectory, how he hits the slopes, is a little bit like a similar mechanism to Tiny Wings, in the sense of how you kind of how the angle of the snowboard hits the slopes. But it's actually fairly kind of hardcore, really. I mean, I'm generally think I'm not very good at games, and even very early on in this one, I was like kind of like spending minutes and minutes and minutes trying to complete these levels, because I just kept dying. And they throw in loads of crazy stuff. There's like big kind of buzz saws you can hit, and this is like a little ragdoll kind of guy, so he like dies in humorous ways and falls off things and crashes into icicles and his head falls off and all that kind of stuff. But it's just really nice. I think it's a nice balance of risk and reward. So in most of the levels, you can kind of just get through them by not doing anything too complicated. And obviously, you'll die a few times working out exactly where the levels are, because you basically end up doing a lot of kind of 180 degree turns or 360 degree turns to get the little guy going down the right slope, and they do a lot of reversing of directions. But when you really get into the skin of a level, you can do loads of crazy stuff. You can do like grabs and do all manner of kind of odd things, and that gives you better points, and that is kind of like a got game center kind of support. So the big thing is to keep beating your high score. But it's a really one of those games that's just really nicely done. The level design in general is pretty kind of interesting and imaginative, and they kind of have ones that are just kind of speed levels where you're kind of changing direction all the time, and ones where you kind of you can duck and jump, and you crazy kind of air ducts blowing you up in the air, and you go upside down, and you know, it's just kind of nice. It's kind of, you can kind of pretty much play at your own level, and there's like 40 levels, so you know, to begin with, so it's pretty good. Typical 99 kind of cent game. So so yeah, I was surprised. I kind of thought I'd just kind of give it a whirl and really enjoyed it. So
I would thoroughly recommend it. Yeah. That's the best kind of surprises.
Exactly. Exactly. Huh.
It's a nice looking game too. It has that kind of that cartoony style, but not childlike. I don't know. I like it. It's almost kind of like Line Rider a little bit.
Yeah, that's the other. Yeah, I was kind of. I didn't really mention Line Rider in the review. Maybe I should have done. But it's a. Yeah, no, it's very much like kind of Line Rider, but with it. I mean, without the drawing mechanism. I guess that would be a bit confusing to throw that in. But it's Yeah, it's kind of one of those games when I was shown it before, it kind of didn't. It seemed like, yeah, so what? But when you pick it up, you suddenly like, ah, because you really end up kind of twisting your device around a lot, because you're doing all these kind of right 360 degree kind of turns and stuff. So you kind of feel like you're really kind of, you know, zooming around and waving your arms around, which is kind of nice.
Does that also mean there's going to be an increased chance of dropping the iPhone?
Yes. You get to the level where you kind of think, oh, I wish I had like a Wii control strap on it, because you kind of like, yeah, I don't think it would work on an iPad. It's not a no, it's not a universal.
Well, that sounds good. And I think that is the end of the podcast for this week. We will be back at the same time next week. I'm not sure if John will be free, but but it depends on when we record, really. But we will be back. Same time, same place, with the hottest iPhone, iPad news. I'm sure Tracy will give his first impressions of like a week with the iPad 2, and there'll be more rumors and games. So look forward to that. That's all on the next episode of the Pocket Gamer iPad and iPhone podcast. I've been Will Wilson, and I've been your host. So, and thank you to Tracy Erickson.
Thank you.
And thank you to John Jordan.
The pleasure was all mine.
And thank you to...
What? Why's that funny?
No, because all I heard was, the pleasure was all mine.
Uh-oh. And thank you to you, listener, for listening. Yes. Goodbye. Have a good evening. Morning. Bye. I need to practice saying goodbye. I just can't. Goodbye is the hardest word to say.
Did you take that from a Boys to Men song?